would say this, that certainly patience prevailed yesterday. Obviously, you had some turnovers, some missed field goals. But in talking to some of the guys, and we heard from Vince earlier, nobody seemed to panic. What was going along with you and the coaching staff as you were trying to figure that all out?
Well, just try to play a good 60 minutes of football. And, you know, we thought we did some things well in the first half, but we just missed some opportunities. We really didn't try to change too much during the game or at halftime. We just tried to do it better, and we did do it better. So that was good.
You were down 21-7, and you wound up with 40 runs for almost 250 yards. Is it a matter of possessions that you feel like are left in the game that allows you to stick with the game plan? Or is it if you had been down 28-7, then you would have stopped the run at that point? So is it the score that dictates the game plan, or is it, well, we still have several possessions, we can stick with our game plan?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all those things, score, time, and how well it's going. Nobody minds calling runs when you're gaining yardage. It's when you call a run and you gain 1 yard or 2 yards, then that's when you question how many more of those do you want to call. So, you know, if you're productive and you have time, then there's nothing wrong with sticking runs in there. Even, you know, I mean, if you can gain 8-10 yards in a running play, it's probably about where you're going to gain on some passing plays too. So it's okay if you feel like you're doing well.
I'm sure you expect, you know, you expect the other team to play well, play at their best when you go into a game. You have to.
Sure.
And you expect your own team to play well. But with these numbers, I mean, those are eye-popping. The last time the Patriots had two 100-yard rushers in the same game was 1982. Did this performance exceed even your expectations for what you thought you could do on the ground?
Well, we didn't really have any expectations or numbers set. You just work on your plays and then see how it goes during the game. Sometimes you end up calling more or less of one thing or another based on how well it's working and what they're doing, how you feel it matches up. But I thought our running game, we had a good complementary game between inside, outside runs, strong side, weak side. And we had some play actions tied in on that, like the touchdown to Gronkowski and things that I'm sure were set up by the running game that helped us. So when it all flows together, then that's, you know, that's a good thing. There's really not no number in mind. You just try to keep the defense off balance, and our offensive players and Josh and the offensive staff did a good job designing that and calling it and executing it.
Given the difference in productivity in the first and the second half, a lot of fans assume that halftime must have been a lot of chair kicking and screaming and colorful language. What goes on at a halftime like that when your team's not playing as well as you thought they were, or not executing as well as you wanted them to?
Well, again, I think that in this particular game, it's not the same in every game, but in this particular game, we felt like we had a lot of good plays. We just did one thing wrong, and it just didn't work as well as we hoped it would. But we didn't feel like there was any need to change anything. We thought that we could continue to doing it. You know, we had a third and one that we didn't pick up. We had, you know, we got down and had to settle for field goals, and then didn't get the points on the field goals. But we felt like we were moving the ball, and we had good opportunities. We just needed to execute them a little bit better, and the same thing defensively on the 21 points. A couple of those were from big plays where they kind of got it all at once, you know, on the long touchdown, and then the two plays where they hit Jackson down the sideline and then Chandler over the middle. So, again, we just felt like defensively, if we could eliminate those big plays there, that we would be okay dealing with the rest of the offense. And offensively, if we could just keep the ball moving and not get stopped on third down or in the red area or, you know, miss a pass or something like that, then we'd be all right there too. We ended up turning the ball over a couple times on good plays where we gained yardage, but we ended up losing the ball at the end of the play. So it was more a case of just doing the things we're doing better rather than change a whole lot of things, and that's what we did.
Bill, you always talk about we're going to do whatever the defense gives us. It seems like there's a lot more attention to the running game this year. Is it because you're seeing more nickel-dime defenses, that teams are coming out and playing you, even early in a series, playing you for the pass?
Well, we saw a lot of that last year, too. I think in the end it just comes down to the execution of it. And if the better you're doing it, the more you want to stay with it. And I think overall, our running game has been pretty consistent for us this year, looking at the preseason games and the regular season games. Now, we didn't run the ball as well against Baltimore as we would like to, or even quite as well against Arizona, but we had some production in those games. But our production in Tennessee and Buffalo and in some of the preseason games has overall been pretty consistent. Probably the best thing we've done offensively overall is just our consistency in the running game. Not that it couldn't be better, but it's been a fairly strong point for us this year.
You know, you think about coaching, there's obviously a lot of teaching involved, and along with teaching is criticism. And it reminds me of a story I saw when Gino Auriemma, when he had his first undefeated team at UConn, after the game, no losses, he's saying, wow, we really could have done this better in the final. And his players are like, oh, come on, we just went undefeated. You look at this game, you had a 45-point second half, you score 52 points. Do you find yourself thinking about the mastery of that, a 45-point second half, or is it you look at, 400-plus yards allowed? Does that bother you when you have an offensive output like you did yesterday?
Well, again, Michael, that offensive output was all in the second half. We didn't – 7 points in the first half isn't going to
– So you're doing
that,
it.
That's not
exactly.
Much.
We only had 7 points in the first half.
Yeah. Yeah. And defensively, they got over 30% on third down, so – we certainly play that better, and we gave up a couple of long touchdown passes around the 20, 25-yard line, that kind of thing. So, I mean, there's a lot of things we can improve on, but that's the way it is really in most games. Regardless of the outcome of the game, you look back at each individual play and the players on that play, and there are good things to point out and things to build on, and then there are the things that we need to do better. And as the game went on, we did things better yesterday than it did improve over the course of the game, and the results improved. But there are still a lot of things we need to work on and areas that we can improve in. There's no question about that. And so that's what the emphasis is going to be, is here's the things we did well. We need to keep doing those. We're going to keep working harder on those. But at the same time, there's other things that, in a close game, in a tight situation, if we don't do them well, it's going to cost us. And we're going to work to improve those, too.
You talked last week about your kicking operation when we talked about Kostowski in the miss. He had some issues yesterday. Is it an operational issue here, and how do you correct it?
Well, we keep working on it, just like we do everything else. We had an issue with our punt protection a couple of weeks ago. We worked hard on that. Buffalo rushed us really three times, and we handled that much better. So I think as long as we work hard on it, improve, and understand what we need to do and how to do it, and work on our technique and our communication, then we can improve any area of the game, whatever it is, kicking, offense, defense, running, passing. It doesn't matter. If we put our mind to it and understand it and understand the coaching points and do a good job of coaching it, that's part of it too, that we can improve. So that's what we'll do with everything.
How much with that role, and it's such a unique role in the game of football, has to do with confidence. And if the guy is feeling good out there, he goes out there and kicks it. Adam Vinatieri did it for years. This kid has a stronger leg, I think, than Adam does. But Adam never missed when the game was on the line. How much of it is upstairs here, Bill?
Well, I think a lot of competition is confidence. There's no question about it. Whatever you do, is confidence plays a big part in it. So, but that starts on the practice field. It starts when you just are able to go out there and do it. And you show that you can do it on the practice field, then that gives you the confidence to go out there and play aggressively in the game, and then you do it in the game, and then you gain confidence in that. But it starts on the practice field. It just doesn't happen on Sunday. When I work out, go out there, and everything falls into place for you, you have to build up to that and gain your confidence to start with on the practice field.
And do you have confidence in Gostkowski still?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Steve's made, it's the same question we were asking last week about McCourty. Mm-hmm. And everybody wanted to cut him, and then he comes out and plays well and has two big turnovers. So, Steve's going to make a lot of big kicks for us. And,
yep.
And Devin's going to make a lot of big plays for us at cornerback. And, we have confidence in all the players, or we wouldn't be putting them out there.
You mentioned McCourty. One of the areas of improvement we saw from him and the other defensive backs yesterday was catching the football. We had some drops in the Baltimore game. I'm just wondering, because of that position, I guess the old line is if they could catch, they'd be playing offense. That's what offensive players, obviously about defensive players. But how much time do you spend with defensive backs on hands? How important is it to actually catch the ball for them?
Oh, well, it's part of what we do. It's certainly part of the job description. It's not only catching the ball, it's judgment, timing the jump and judging the ball and being in the right position, as well as leverage, tackling, coverage, rerouting receivers, so forth. So run force, the defensive back's job description is a long list, like it is at every position. And being opportunistic and taking advantages of our opportunities to catch the ball and turn it over, that's part of it, sure.
It's just repetition, too. I mean, you've seen some guys come into the league a little shaky. I mean, former cornerback Asante, when he came into the league his first year, he probably dropped about 5 or 6 interceptions, and then he became known as a playmaker. Have you seen a steady improvement from certain guys from the time they came into the league until now with just being able to catch the ball?
Sure. Yeah, sure. That comes with concentration, practice, sometimes improved technique. But the thing about defensive players, and Steve can tell you this, is how many chances do you really get to catch the ball in practice? And having a coach lob it to you is one thing, and catching it from an NFL quarterback that's got some mustard on it, who's not throwing it to you, he's throwing it to somebody else that you've got to try to make the play on, is a little different story. So speed, timing, judgment, and practice is important. And a lot of defensive backs in practice don't get many balls thrown to them, and the quarterback's not thrown to them. They're thrown to the receiver. So we either have to set up drills that create those situations and also do it with somebody that can throw the ball at an NFL-type level, and those players just have to work harder on their concentration on finishing the play. And all those things are involved. I mean, that's not an excuse. It's not letting anybody off the hook, but it's something you've got to work on. It doesn't just happen.
Did you see Devin McCourty this week doing just that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he worked really hard, and he had a couple plays in practice, one in particular that was one of the best interceptions I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Went up, took the ball at the high point, took it away from the receiver, and made a play in practice that was was really an outstanding play. Compared to the two he made in the game, that was even a better play than he made in practice. And so, I think you can see hard work and concentration on anything usually will lead to better results. We saw it on the practice field. We saw it in the game. We saw that in a lot of other areas in the game as well, not just him or the interceptions, but we saw things in the blocking, things in our return game, and our field goal rush, and our punt protection, things that we worked on in practice that improved in practice. Well, they improved in the game, too.
One of the picks where you had them deep in their own territory, just before that, you guys called a timeout. Everybody in the defensive line got up and was calling timeout. I thought initially you might have had too many guys in the field. That didn't seem to be the case. What did you see there? So I find it interesting that in the very next play, you come up with a pick.
Well, we were misaligned on the play. They had a receiver split out that we didn't have covered, and we were scrambling to get over to him late, and we just misaligned on the play. So, you never want to leave a receiver uncovered like that, so especially in the first half. So we took the timeout, and then we got it right. And then the next play, I think we actually changed the defense on that. But in any case,
it worked.
That's something that they had done before. The Buffalo, when they were backed up, has taken a shot down the field, trying to throw from deep in their own territory, launch a bomb down there. And Devin played it well, made a nice play on it. Mm-hmm.
It seems like Brandon Spike's play has improved over last year. Mm-hmm. If that's true, how much and how so? How's it shown itself?
I think the big thing with Brandon has just been his consistency. He got off to a little bit of a slow start in training camp, but once he was out there, he's been out there consistently every day, every week, and that leads to more reps, more timing, better communication with the guys on the field, and better play, more efficiency. And last year he was in and out a little bit, missed some time there, and the same thing as rookie year, missed some time around the middle of the season, that type of thing. So being out there, continuing to work, continuing to improve on a daily basis, that's really the name of the game.
So it's not just we've seen a few very obvious highlights from him over the first 4 weeks, so it's not just those highlights. He's playing well all the way around?
Yeah, but I think you saw those plays last year. I mean, saw the his interception against the Jets game, his rookie year. You saw the interception against Baltimore in a championship game last year. Mm-hmm. Seen him make some hits, some tackles in the Dallas game last year. Made a couple plays at the end of the game that were plays in the backfield that helped us to get the ball back before that drive. I mean, so he's, you know, it isn't like yet. To me, he's shown up with plenty of positive plays. I'd say the only thing with him the last couple of years has been, you know, his ability to just stay on the field, you know, his durability. And that's cost him some playing time. But I think when he's been out there, he's been productive.
What does the rest of the NFL have against Ole Miss running backs? I mean, No, it's amazing. Really, if you look at Ben Jarvis, he had a great production for you. And I don't know what Bolden is going to turn out to be, but a great game yesterday. It seems pretty almost unbelievable that you could have two guys playing in a big-time conference. Not like the SEC is like a Division III conference that can kind of be ignored by the whole drafting process and scouting process.
Well, you know, Tennessee had one a couple of years ago, you know, down with the Texans.
Foster.
So, you know, I think when you look around the league, you see a lot of running, not a lot, but you see a decent number of running backs that are very productive that either weren't drafted or were drafted in the sixth, seventh round. And those guys show up all through the league, you know, and a lot of a running back's production is certainly based on what his opportunities are, you know, who he's playing behind, what kind of holes he has to run through, and how healthy he is. And sometimes those guys, you know, get banged up and they play the whole season or don't play much in the season. They play it hurt or don't play much in the season. You know, guys like Curtis Martin. I mean, there's a guy who played one game his senior year, whatever it was, two games, and then, you know, went on to have a Hall of Fame running, you know, career in the NFL. And there's some circumstances at that position that I think are a little unique. But I think when you go through the rosters in the league and look at some of the players, they're not all Adrian Petersons in the first round. I mean, there are some, and the Trent Richardsons and those guys. But there's a lot of other guys that either don't get drafted or last till pretty late in the draft that are still very productive players at that position. So, but Bolden's really a good example of a guy that's come in here and not only run the ball well, but he's played very well in the kicking game and he catches the ball well. So he is a good set of skills, and it is. It's kind of hard to understand how a guy like that wasn't drafted. And that being said, we didn't draft him either. So it's an imperfect, as you know, it's a very imperfect drafting and picking players is a very imperfect science.
All right, Denver in town this week. You played them in the playoffs, but the offense is a little bit different right now with Peyton Manning. How much have they incorporated the stuff we saw Manning using in Indianapolis?
Oh, I'd say somewhere over 99%.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of play action. It's the Colts offense, and that's also an offense that's very adaptable to whatever the defense is doing. If they're playing zone, if they're blitzing, if they're playing man-to-man, if they're zone blitzing, whatever it is, the things that they like to do in Indianapolis to attack those, whatever type of defense it is, those are the same kind of things we've seen from Denver. So how you play them will dictate what they want to do to you. They're very flexible. They have a lot of good players. And Manning controls it and runs the offense. It looks to me pretty much like he did in Indianapolis. I don't see a lot of difference other than the jerseys.
How does their receiving core compare to the receivers he's had in over in Indianapolis?
They got the home run guy with Thomas for sure, but it's a good solid group. They use a lot of two tight ends and two receivers and one tight end, three receivers, like they did at Indianapolis. They're Peyton Manning, it didn't make a difference who the receivers are, whether it was, you know, Colley, Garcon, Wayne, Harrison, Clark,
et cetera.
You know, he got him the ball, and that's what he mixes in the running game well. He does a good job of that, of using the running game against defensive looks that are favorable. And when they take it away, then he goes to something else. So they're well balanced. They have a good team, experienced offensive line, I thought they were very impressive yesterday against Oakland. They totally handled them, scored a lot of points, played good defense. I mean, didn't give up much anything. Strong in the kicking game. So You know, same thing against Pittsburgh. They did a good job against the Steelers opening weekend. So they're a good team.
I know the circumstances were unusual, but I never thought I'd see the day where Peyton Manning would be a free agent. With that being said, were you rooting for him to be in the NFC at the end of the free agent sweepstakes?
Or not on our schedule. Yeah. But again, every team has good players, and so we see him every week at every position. Good players, good coaches, good schemes. Those teams work hard, and they, as we know, this is a great competitive league, and if you're not at your best every week, you're in trouble. I don't care who you're playing or where you're playing or what type of team you're playing. If you're not playing well, you're in trouble, and it'll be no different this week. Denver certainly has enough firepower, enough weapons, enough good players, coaches, experience, and everything else to go out and beat anybody on any day. So we'll need a real good performance on Sunday. We know that.
You know, last year, sorry, Glenn, I just want to follow up. Well, not follow up. It's a completely different topic. But the NFL Network does this Football Life special that I love. I saw the Ray Lewis one. That was great. The one on you last year was terrific. Now they have one coming out on Wednesday, Cleveland Browns Football Life, 95 Browns. And you look at the personnel that you had on that team, just from the coaching standpoint, I mean, all superstars, Nick Saban, yourself, Kirk Ferentz, Jim Schwartz, on Ozzie Newsome. At the time, did you realize what you had, or did it take some distance to look back and say, man, we were pretty freaking good in the front office and on the coaching staff?
Well, I felt pretty good about that when we were there. A lot better than our owner did, I would say. There are quite a few weeks where, our owner would ask about, do you think Nick Saban can handle the defense? Do you think Kirk Ferentz can handle the offensive line? Is Ozzie Newsome okay in scouting? Is Jim Schwartz, Pat Hill, is he okay with the tight end? Yeah, those guys are pretty good coaches, and we had a lot of good people in that organization that have obviously gone on to do very well, and I was very fortunate to be associated with that entire group. But I was very impressed with those, and I'm telling you, I learned a lot more from them probably than they learned from me, because it was just an outstanding group of coaches, scouts. Mike Lombardi in the scouting department did a tremendous job, and we had a lot of great scouts there. And coaching-wise, of course, start with Nick, Scott O'Brien. Those are great coaches, and just go right on down the line. So, and I think we all had a lot of confidence in each other. I know offense, defense, special teams, when we would have meetings and talk about things, go over personnel and things like that, that there was always a good exchange of ideas, a lot of respect, and I think we all learned from each other there. It was a good group of people, and I'm very proud of all of them and how they've gone on and had the great success that they have with me, without me, in their own individual careers. And but it doesn't surprise me, because I saw a lot of good people in that organization at that time during those years. The Jimmy Schwartzes and guys like that. They were young, they were just getting some experience, but you could tell they were going to be pretty good. I actually tried to hire Jimmy here when I got the job in 2000, and I called Jeff Fisher and said, I want to hire Jimmy he was a quality control coach in Tennessee. I said, I'd like to hire Jimmy as, my linebackers coach. And he said, well, I think I'm probably going to make him my defensive coordinator. How does a guy go from being a quality control right. coach to a defensive coordinator, 1 year?
Because someone else wants him.
When Greg Williams left, and that's, that's sort of that's the guy that Jeff promoted. So, those guys pop up the ladder sometimes a lot quicker than you expect them to. But I never saw that one coming. That was a big jump, but well-deserved.
That's amazing when you rattle off all those names and you see the success that each one of those guys I've had. It's phenomenal. If that team had not gone through that controversy, the move and the whole works, because you've won since, obviously, do you think you would have won there?
Well, that team won.
Yeah.
That team won in 2000. It took them a couple of years. Right. But the next draft was Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden. And Ozzie's done a great job there, no question about it, accumulating personnel, acquiring personnel. And they built a great team there. But that was a pretty good foundation. We had a real good year in 94, as we know, and then 95, it was a tough year. But There was good talent on that team, and there was good talent, more importantly, I think, in the front office and the coaching staff, and a lot of that stayed together, and that's kind of the foundation of the Baltimore franchise to a degree. Of course, it's not a great memory when you compete against those guys and it doesn't come out well like it did 2 weeks ago. But looking back on it when you're not playing them, you have an appreciation for what they've done, what they've accomplished, and how strong they've been, and what small role I might have had in it. But at least we all have a lot of mutual respect for each other, what we did in Cleveland and going forward, what's happened since then in the last 20 years, 15, whatever it is.
It'll be fascinating to watch this thing on Wednesday. Every time they throw the promo out there, I think they have your son up there. That's really you. It looks like your son. It does, the long hair and the whole works. It does. Congratulations on the win. Good luck against Denver on Sunday. We'll see you back here on Monday.
All right, sounds good.
Have a good one.
All right, Steve.
Thanks,
Michael. Thank you.
Bill Belichick right here on The Big Show.